So again, Father, this morning we ask you to open the eyes of our hearts that we may know the hope to which we're called, the glorious inheritance of the saints, and the incomparable great power for those who believe. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Each of these Sundays after Easter, we have the opportunity to revisit one of the post-resurrection accounts of how Jesus shows up into the lives of a number of people. Sometimes it's just a few or one. Sometimes it's to whole crowds of people. Each of these resurrection appearances has a special purpose and meaning. For 40 days, he's showing up. He's not sitting around just waiting for something to happen, waiting for the ascension to happen. But he shows himself in very particular ways for very particular reasons. For example, he shows himself to Mary Magdalene, first person on Easter morning, and he says, "Mary," in order to show us that the resurrection is to turn around all of the fallen creation, but it's also for Mary, and it's also for individuals. And then he shows himself to those who are on the road to Emmaus, the two who are on the road, and he does this to show them how he fulfills all of the scriptures. Starting with Moses and the prophets, he opens up the scriptures to them and shows them how it's all about Jesus, his life and death and resurrection. And then he shows up to Thomas a little later, and he shows Thomas his hands and his feet, the marks of the nails, and as a reminder of the suffering that our Lord went through on the cross in order to win for us everlasting life. And then he shows himself to Paul on the road to Damascus to show us that he comes back to life in order to open the spiritual eyes of those who are blind. And so there's a purpose for all of these post-resurrection appearances for all of these 40 days before he ascends. Today's, we're told, is the third revelation to the disciples, and it's a fish fry on the Sea of Galilee. And so what's the point? I mean, what's the message? Peter says, "I'm going fishing," and seven of his disciples go with him. They get into a boat, and it says in the scriptures that they fished all night and caught nothing. I want you to remember that this is Peter and John and James. These are fishermen. These are people who were experts. They knew how to fish. They were professional fishermen before Jesus called them to follow him. And so they knew all about it, but they caught nothing that night. The way that they used to fish is that they'd go out at night and they would lift up a torch and the fish would come to the light and then they'd throw a net over them. I think that's illegal these days, but that's how they did it back in the first century. And so after this night, the night of failure, the night of not catching any fish, these professional fishermen, we're reminded that that's where God meets his people, in the midst of failure, in the midst of not being able to do what they're created and designed to do. And it's where God meets us. It's where Jesus talks about the poverty of spirit. He says, "Blessed is the man who's realized his own utter helplessness and has put his whole trust in God." He meets us in our failures. He meets us when we've exhausted all the other opportunities and efforts of our lives to catch fish. And so some guy from the shore yells out, "Have you caught anything?" And they say, "No, we haven't caught a single fish." And then the same guy says, "Throw the net on the right side and you'll catch some." And we know the rest of the story. It's in the abundance of fish, 153 of them. I wonder who counted. 153 fish. It's in the abundance of this catch that they recognize it's Jesus. Simon Peter, who is stripped for work, puts on his clothes, and he can't get to Jesus fast enough. He's crazy happy that Jesus is there, and he wants to be with him now. You see the healing that's happened in his life. The one who denied Jesus is now grateful, so grateful that he's alive and that he can have some fellowship with him. And so it's in our own failures and in our own inadequate efforts that we're put in touch with the adequacy of God. It shows us, this scripture does, that in profound need for our failures and our sins and our brokenness and our shame and our sin is where we'll find an adequate God. And it shows us that in our need we'll find hope, and in our need we'll find a Savior. In a need we'll find that which we're created to experience and unfortunately haven't been able to experience in our own efforts. Fishermen failed at fishing, but Jesus provided abundantly. God did what we couldn't do, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we've got our acts together, not when we have it all in a line and put together, and not when our efforts and our own trying harder religion have it all in place, but when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. When we couldn't, he did. And that's what he wants to show us in this post-resurrection story of meeting the disciples on the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias. Jesus rose to show his adequacy covers our inadequacy. Not because of our success in life, he is pleased, but because he's pleased, we can have fulfillment in life and vitality and flourish. So because of this, forgiveness has risen according to St. John Chrysostom. Forgiveness is available because of this. We have access to freedom in God's provision for us, his adequacy that covers our inadequacy, the freedom that keeps us from things that keep us enslaved, the sin and the devil and the death and the fear of those things. And I want you to notice in this passage that John wants us to notice the connection to the Passover, the Jesus feeding of the disciples in this breakfast occurrence on the Sea of Galilee has everything to do with the Passover. And John wants us to see us, wants to show us the connection. Moses, who brought the Israelites, the Jews, from slavery into freedom, freedom into the wilderness and freedom that they'll experience ultimately in the promised land. And now Jesus, who died and rose again, brings them freedom, gives them ultimate freedom. It's the Passover of Passovers. It's the Passover of which all of those Passovers from Moses' time look forward to. It's the ultimate freedom that God has foretold. And Moses took the people through the sea for their deliverance. And Jesus stands on the seashore to show his full power over all of creation and nature. And after the deliverance, remember how Moses led the people into the wilderness and God provided for them food, nourishment, the manna. And then he provided abundantly for them when they got to the promised land, land of milk and honey. And how Jesus is shown to have prepared for them breakfast that morning. the disciples failed that night, but not Jesus. Arthur Pink says it this way. He says, the greatest failure made by people is hoping to discover in themselves that which is to be found in Christ alone. Our self-confidence as fishermen, our self-confidence as good people, our self-confidence as decent Christians falls short of what God demands. But God is adequate, and he takes care of it, and he shows us his adequacy. Our efforts become self-salvation projects unless they're a joyful response to the knowledge that Jesus has done what we couldn't do. So notice how when they get back to shore, that they're not going to use one of the 153 fish that's caught. But Jesus has breakfast already ready for them. He's already caught the food. He's already put the bread on to warm. And he invites them to breakfast. If there's anyone here today who is burdened or hurting or feeling broken or tired or afraid, if there's anyone else besides me that's feeling those things, then consider this, that they fished all night and they caught nothing. But Jesus says, throw the net on the right side, and they experience abundance. This is the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he rose from the dead, after the Passover of Passovers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.